Morning.
Good morning. I went to all of those meetings yesterday. Hours out of my life I'll never get back.
Better or worse than sitting in that really hot, crowded room after eating a super heavy lunch?
You know, the Western District meeting went pretty quick. Basically, you know, predictably, Don Soup has got elected to the board. And then the CCI business meeting was going along fairly well, but then I needed to jump off in the middle of it and go to a different meeting after I showed up and voted and helped them get a quorum. And then I went to the CAP meeting. And again, that's just, you know, pretty straightforward. It's just, here's the budget, here's what we did. Voted on that. And then they started kind of going down some path about, well, they just started congratulating each other. And I got bored. And I just left it on. And I went for a walk with the dog. And I came back 45 minutes later, and they were still going on and on and on. Couldn't believe it.
Oh, Tim. Well, thanks for taking one for the team. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Yep. I guess we all have our spears we need to catch from time to time. That was mine for yesterday. Okay, everybody's here. Good morning, Doug. Good
morning. So that was the CCI meeting that you were talking about?
Oh, it was actually I left after I did my duty at the CCI meeting. And actually, I think they were honoring outgoing commissioners. So they were probably honoring you along with some others. I missed all of that. But then I went to the CAP meeting and after the taking care of business, they started doing the same thing. And I got bored and I went for a 45 minute walk. And when I came back, I just left my link open and they were still going on and on about it. Kind of everybody was congratulating everybody else. And I don't know, I just seemed like a little too much time spent on all that. So, oh well.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready to get started here?
Yep.
I think you're up, Doug.
Yep. So I got a set of accounts payable here. Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the accounts payable. That'll be cycle date 11/23 through 11/27. And the total amount of $125,423.25. And that'll be the motion. Then I come comment.
We have a motion and a second. Items of note, Doug.
Yeah, so it basically was a little bit of payroll and associated payroll checks for the payroll at the end of the month. So nothing there.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 I'm going to need, I think... There are two resolutions on the consent agenda, so I'm going to need a number, but the one for the library trustees doesn't have the line for the resolution number, but it says it's a resolution. So I assume it needs a number.
Yes, it'll need a number. I'll put that in there before I send it out through DocuSign. Okay. Our resolution, the first resolution number for today will be 2020-061.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move to approve consent agenda items A and B, noting that the resolution appointing trustees to the East Route Library District Board is resolution 2020-061, and the resolution recognizing December 8th, 2020 as Colorado Gives Day is resolution 2020-062.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. We're running a couple of minutes ahead of schedule, but I think we could go to public comment. I know that Ken Brenner contacted me and said he wanted to make some public comment. And I see that, I think he's on the, he's attending here and he's got his hand raised. So Ken apparently knows the drill. And I don't see anybody else among our attendees that has not previously been given the instructions for public comment. So I'm gonna call on KB. And KB, please identify yourself and make your comment, please.
Good morning, commissioners. Commissioner Melton, Commissioner Corrigan, Munger, and staff. My name is Ken Brenner. I live in at 789 Spring Creek Circle here in Steamboat Springs. And I wanted to thank you for a chance to make a couple comments on cooperative land use planning. Rock County has a unique history, unique in the state of Colorado. And in fact, when I was on city council, we actually, Commissioner Munger and I gave a presentation at the annual conference for the CML on how cities and counties could actually cooperate and coordinate their planning activities as opposed to the norm around the state where developers typically play one against the other. So, just a super brief history, you know, the Catamount Lake and Ski Area project prompted in the late 80s and early 90s a firestorm of planning activities here in the Yampa Valley. And the outcome after years of work on this project was to come up with a community area plan that I think was last ratified and updated in 2003. That was the same year that the Route County Master Plan was updated, and I had the honor of working on that as one of your Planning Commission members at that time. We have consciously decided that we really want to not have sprawl, and that's why we have such an amazing valley with a lot of still largely functioning agricultural land and good wildlife habitat. And one of the things that's caused us a lot of problems over the years has been these Title 32 districts, metropolitan districts. You know, that would be Morrison Creek, they're at Stagecoach, Mount Warner Water, still is a unique entity. Steamboat Lake was another one. Anyway, but the county instead decided that what they're from the community surveys that we were doing at the time, that we really wanted to preserve agriculture and wildlife habitat to the greatest extent possible, while still honoring the use by right of one unit per 35 acres. The city's responsibility was to do infill and density and redevelopment. And an outgrowth of that was to come up with this west of Steamboat Springs area plan. So we have both a hard incorporated urban boundary, but we also had, an annexed incorporated boundary, but also included to the west of Steamboat was an urban growth boundary. Now, we haven't been all that successful in resurrecting that. And there's a number of reasons for that, and we won't go into that right now. But as you noticed, the city council in Steamboat Springs did hear an offer from the developers who had received a successful annexation and voter support, but were unable to secure adequate access and ownership of the property in order to continue that project to move forward. And they were checking to see if the commissioner, if the city council members were willing to move forward much where they left off. And they seemed reluctant. I think I would characterize it as saying, well, it probably ought to start over with a pre-annexation application. The reason I'm here today is in order to make all of this work well at the time, there was a committee called the Area Plan Coordinating Committee. Area Plan Coordinating Committee had the city manager and the county manager, city council members, county commissioner, the planning directors, planning staff, planning commission members. It was really a very high level and effective group that worked diligently on these. We met regularly, at least once a month, and often it was several times a month and even weekly. I had the honor of chairing that committee for 5 years. We did a lot of really good work. And there is a Title 31 General Improvement District. I'm going to cut to the chase here. This is kind of the end of the story, because I know you have important things to do. This General Improvement District concept was one that really seemed to gravitate for this group, allowing a city and county controlled district is a general improvement district, as opposed to a metropolitan district where the property owners control it. So with the plans that we drew up and the discussions we had showed building both the Slate Creek connector, which would run more or less north and south from Sleepy Bear out to Elk River Road, and then a second one from Downhill Drive all the way out to Silver Spur. And we don't have any of our infrastructure in West Steamboat. There's been another obstacle. So this would help allow us to get in at least the water and wastewater. I know Yampa Valley Electric would probably put in electricity, you know, do as many of the utilities as was possible and put that into this general improvement district so that as this land incrementally is annexed, that they would pay, each person would pay an incremental proportionate share of this core infrastructure that needed to be in place. We kind of concluded all of that right near the end of my term, and the city council turned over, and I'm not sure what all happened. We had an unsuccessful Steamboat 700 application, and gradually we lost the momentum on this. I'd like to resurrect that. I'd like to have a few minutes of your planning director's time, with your permission, to discuss the possibility of how we might resurrect this concept, and then I'd move forward with engaging at the city's level with the city manager, with Gary, to talk to him about how might be able to get this APCC back up and functioning to help be successful at the development of our designated growth area. Affordable housing has not become less of an issue. And it's for that reason I asked you for a few minutes of your time this morning. Thank you for that. I'm sure I exceeded my 3 minutes, but I wanted to make sure I gave you enough of a background that you can see that there was actually a tremendous amount of work and effort put into this. And I have to say, I was really proud of both the city and county fully engaged and fully participating. And it's a shame that we didn't have a better resolution.
Thank you, Ken. And sure, feel free to call our planning director and have a conversation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, commissioners, for all your work during the COVID crisis. And you guys have done a yeoman's task here on all of the responsibilities. It's much appreciated by not only myself, but our community at large. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Next up, we have Dave. Dave, would you identify yourself and unmute yourself, please?
Hello, it's Dave with Dave Corey here with routecounty.net. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just saw something on the agenda for later today, which is an approval of an amendment for a PIO officer contract. And I noticed that it ends at the end of this month and has a 2-week notification from either party for it to end, which means that by the middle of December, the county commissioners or would have to decide whether or not to continue to retain this contract. And I just wanted to give the perspective from a member of the free press in America that I've asked several questions to this. Well, let me take a step back and say that I'm really displeased that the county, our government, with my elected officials, has put a company that has limited liability in charge of communication between the county and the public. And that the job they're doing doesn't seem to be under review by anyone. And if we're gonna pay taxpayer dollars month after month, I think it would be appropriate that we look at the job the person is doing and if they're doing it well. And the responsibilities of this position is to respond to inquiries from the news media and the public. And I've sent emails that have been ignored. I have addressed issues that have been presented to across the board. At the county commissioners have also been on carbon copies of these emails. And I know that you don't respond to every email because this person is hired to do that. And it hasn't been done. And some of the scope of work, if you were to look at the 10 things on your contract, 11 things right now, if you were to put yourself into the public's perspective and read these 11 things, you might have a different opinion of the role of this person. They are in charge of all the social media. They make decisions about what is being posted on social media, and they speak and represent our county to the public. They are the public-facing aspect of Rauch County government. And I think that somewhere along the line, before we keep spending $8,500 a month for somebody who possibly is promoting propaganda, that we take a serious look at the messaging that is being presented and see if we can do better. I'd appreciate that. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Dave. I am not seeing any other hands raised for public comment, so I am going to close public comment at this time, and we can move on to our next item, which is a capital funding request for the Hayden Center for a child care center. Do we have Matt Mendisco on the line or someone from the town of Hayden? I see Matt Mendisco and Mary Alice Page Allen. They should be promoted. Thank you. Matt. There you are. Good morning.
Hello, everybody.
Good morning, Mary Alice.
Good morning. How are you?
Great.
So if it's okay, I would like to share my screen real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
So did we get a hold of Kelly, Keith, and or Roberta to listen in on this conversation today, to have conversations about direct needs? Any of us?
I did not.
And I know that they went down there, so I just want to keep that in mind as we move forward. So, Matt, sorry, go ahead.
Absolutely, no big deal. So, if this presentation should last about 10 minutes, roughly, maybe a little bit less, hopefully. It's synchronized in a way that you guys have already received it, but it's synchronized in a way that it kind of leads up to how we're at the Hayden Center and the funding request. I think it's important to set the tone of, you know, the way that Hayden approaches its budget before making, you know, just to highlight how we're making this request. So, and I appreciate the time of everybody. So as you can see on the screen, this is the, and I'm gonna actually make this a better presentation maybe. There we go. So the town's vision statement, to be a welcoming, inclusive community that honors our heritage while planning for the future. This vision statement took months. It was adopted in 2019. And it's purposeful in the way it's written. colors, everything, because inclusivity, community, planning for the future, heritage, all very, very important. And it takes everybody. So, and our core values, similar to the county's, some slight variation, but I won't spend a lot of time on that other than just understanding that these are the things that guide us. I know you all do performance-based budgeting. We don't have the capacity to get software and all of the things out, but at the end of the day, I think it boils down to the simple equation, which I know you guys work on all the time, which is your outcomes, goals plus process times cost. I always try to boil things down into the most simple version you can. So a highlight of our numbers in relation to the Hayden Center. So as we're getting to this, we're starting to treat Hayden's budget more like a, almost like a private business, because that forces us to think about diversification. For example, the airport, and you guys all know this already, but it represents, depending on the year, between 40 to 45% of the town's budget. And we've, in our next year's budget, we've reduced that anticipation down to about 20%. And I think we're going to carry that trend moving forward. Any excess that comes in will be allocated to either certain capital projects and or reserves to ensure the financial stability of the town. 25% load capacity is what we're hearing on ski flights. This is just, you know, some of the other things that we're doing in anticipation of the following year coming in. To make the Hayden Center successful. And so this is the reason that, you know, some of these highlights. So the Hayden Center breakdown, this is as of today. These are our costs as of today. We close in about 2 weeks, on the 15th, 2 weeks officially. Everybody is on track for that. And we're purchasing the building for $50,000 from the school district. We've coordinated our local gym here. That person, we're actually buying their weight equipment for the Hayden Center for the recreation side. We're purchasing that for $45,000. We've partnered with Old Town Hot Springs and we're working with them. They have old spin bikes and they have some other cardio equipment that they're not going to need because they were getting new stuff. And so we're essentially purchasing their stuff, which was practically brand new anyway when they remodeled everything. But we're buying that at a really great discount. Their operations director, fitness director, lives here in the town of Hayden, and she's been great, Holly. She's also going to be teaching some classes for us. Big purchase and a big item that we're going to be dealing with here shortly is separation of the demo building side. The school won't actually demo their middle school until next spring. They're doing asbestos mitigation right now, but they will demo that. But in order to get Totally Kids up and running, which is our childcare center, Totally Kids and our childcare program, we need to have that separation. And because construction is so backed up, we had to put in both a temporary wall and a permanent wall. Right now, literally the town of Hayden, I think, has one childcare place open, which is due to level red. So the and that childcare place has 6 spots. So Totally Kids was operating out of our community church. When Rowe County moved to level red, the community church made the decision to not allow them to use the facility anymore. They can't move into the school facility yet because we don't own it, and they're doing asbestos mitigation there. The new school, they're not licensed there. So we're really in a bind. And we need to get them up and running as soon as possible. It's our number one priority because right now, literally, the town of Hayden has no childcare. And so Totally Kids is the best program to push and get up and running. And we've partnered with them at the Hayden Center long-term. but we have these immediate needs. So no matter what, we're facing $202,000 of planned expenses coming up in the next, and specifically with the child care center, we won't be able to get the infant stuff and everything else until we remodel the building, which will come in the summer. But if we can do the wall that will go up in the middle that separates, and the wall that we'll be putting up will be permanent, both temporary, and then it transitions into permanent, and that wall will be our exterior wall once the demo happens. So it's not just a temporary investment. The temporary wall takes modifications and then gets put in. And so the total cost of that is $95,000. Putting in this, doing all of this stuff gets totally kids in operation. They're licensed at that facility now. They could move into the wing at totally where we have them. And I'll show in a second where that's located. The recreation center wing would be operational. Essentially, for basic operations, the entire facility, we could start moving the pieces and opening as planned by the end of January, which is our plan. It's just going to take time over the holidays to set things up, but Totally Kids would move into the facility literally as soon as that wall went up. And so that is the cost breakdown of the cost just to get up and running by the end of January. Phase 1A, which is, I've listed several things here. Our complete construction for phase 1A, best estimate as you guys received, is just under $2.5 million with design. This includes phase 1A remodels, the Totally Kids space to include the Totally Tots, which is Totally Kids is going to do infant through up to kindergarten as well. Right now, they don't do that. They just start at kindergarten and they go to sixth grade for childcare. They'll go from sixth grade all the way down to infant care with the remodeled space. And so that will be pretty significant because, again, the one place that's open now, I don't even think they do small infant care. They take children after the age of one, I think. And our other childcare facility has not been able to reopen just due to she's has high health risks and just isn't going to be able to open in the foreseeable future. So Totally Kids and Totally Tots, as they have formed the new nonprofit, would step in and fill a huge gap in that space. It also upgrades and remodels our recreation space, which is the primary, and our mechanical is limited to just those remodel spaces on the HVAC. If you look at our budget, we have several in each phase. They redo a little bit of the HVAC. That's mainly the duct work on the top of the roof, because we have drop ceilings, which acts as the plenum, as Tim will understand from construction. Those drop ceilings back from 1970s, they use that as their return plenum. So now we've got to get rid of that in those areas. So this also deals with all the asbestos mitigation to get there. Our current revenues as planned will be a bond issue from our sales tax measure that passed, yay for us, of 1.7 to 1.8 million. Actually probably have more bandwidth, but because of COVID and other issues, we're being conservative because we don't want to overextend ourselves. We've applied for a DOLA grant that we anticipate to be between 250 and 500,000. Gates Family Foundation, we're anticipating to apply for that. However, right now their capital has been mainly focused on COVID issues. We're going to the Buell Foundation for 200,000. And for childcare specifically. And then a grant, we've applied for a grant for $100,000, which Mary Alice can focus on here in a second. The general fund transfer for the year at about 200,000. And then were asking up to $100,000 from Rouse County to either help us with the permanent wall that would separate the two buildings. If our grant comes through, then we would take that $100,000 and then just put it towards the Totally Kids remodel space that would come in April or May. Our construction documents will be written as such as that the Totally Kids space will get done first, followed by the rest of the mechanical stuff as it moves along in the recreational areas and other things. So that is phase 1A. That gets us through our first remodel. Phase 1B, 2, and 3, as you guys saw, deal with remodeling the auditorium space. Then we finish up interior and the educational, or all, as I call it, the educational area, where we plan on hosting a lot of secondary education things and developing those for the trades, specifically expansion, possibly either on the Babson Center stuff that's done now and or additional trades. And we've already begun the forming a nonprofit to actually oversee that secondary educational component. And then we'll complete construction in the last phase. That is the PowerPoint presentation of all of the numbers. I'm going to stop sharing this document for a second, and I'm going to share a different one moment. I'm going to share just the So this is our current 30% design floor plan. I think the focus of this conversation is the Totally Kids space. As you can see right here, we have the infant room, infant classroom, Totally Kids classroom, Totally Kids classroom, Totally Kids classroom. Over here would be their office space. And then this over here would serve as their primary restroom facilities, program room and break room, which is multi-use because, as you can see here, health and family services. We have a plan for Hayden because we have such a lack of health services in Hayden specifically. And I've spoken to both Mark and Roberta about this, that this area is meant to serve multifaceted health and human services capabilities in Hayden. We would see Department of Human Services being able to house themselves out of here, mental health facilities, and also public health. Essentially, West Route could be served out of Hayden versus often having to travel to Steamboat for basic health services, that it could be serviced out of here. Obviously, we know those schedules would be dependent, but at least they would be able to be serviced there. Just to quickly review the rest of this area, you see here, this is kind of our trades area. This was the old wood shop, and now it is going to be repurposed again for that same purpose. Some of these names are actually changing. Pottery, art, those will be maker spaces. This kitchen area is being actually now maybe separated because we may be moving towards a combining our co-working space with a technological component to blend those two together. And then the auditorium and performing arts space here, or creative arts, I should say, which this is a 350 seat auditorium. In the world of COVID, we could indoors, in the appropriate level, we could space people out here at even and still exceed what the chief does on any given day. We could still space those people out. The stage is set, so we can use this in its basic form. And then once we remodel, we'll be able to do a lot more. These classroom areas will be for rental and or use. We already have a nurse who's going to be virtually teaching in this space here starting next semester for Mesa. She is your former public health nurse, and she is going to be teaching a master's class out of here, working at Craig Memorial. She keeps getting shifted around. So now she's going to use this space for 4 months to start teaching her classes and set up everything. And then this will be our youth community room, where we will, you know, youth can come hang out, just have a place to go. Speaking to all of our youth, the biggest issue is they don't have places to go, especially in the winter. And then this recreational wing is where our main recreation center will be. You can see the various functions that will function out of there. The wall specifically that we're talking about here, this slight spot right here, you see this like separation thing, that's where that wall will actually be. That separates the demo area, and eventually that demo will be gone. There'll be nothing here. This line actually represents kind of like a 10-foot buffer from here to here, which is where our property line ends and the school district property, other property begins. So I'm gonna hand it over to Mary Alice real quick, just to see if she has any closing comments, and then we'll be happy to answer questions, et cetera.
I really don't have any closing comments other than we've been working pretty hard to put another house of cards together to make this project happen again. And we feel pretty confident, particularly with the tax ballot question passing. Even in times of stress, it passed pretty significantly. You know, we're looking at every resource we can possibly find to bring to bear on this. And I think this is going to be a great big addition to the community when we bring it on full throttle.
I think it should also be noted that we fully anticipate that this is going to become a regional facility really, really quickly. I mean, we've already got a gentleman out of Steamboat who is going to be requesting to teach private soccer lessons indoors, one-on-one with students. He lays out turf that they use in the gym so that he can teach these students one-on-one. And we're already getting calls about that. And we foresee that this facility will only grow regionally long-term and for all the various uses that you kind of see already. So both when I say regional too, I mean valley-wide. So we anticipate people from Craig using it, people from, you know, Route County, et cetera. So anyway, that's the comments we have. Happy to answer questions and thank you for your time again.
Thank you, Matt. Have to note that you guys are thinking big. That's pretty impressive plan that you're putting forward. Commissioners, questions or comments for Matt, Mary Alice? I know I have a couple.
I don't know that I have any questions in particular, just a couple of comments. Kudos to you guys for this. This is a very cool project and a really big deal for the town of Hayden and for the region, as you said. And, you know, Matt, kudos to you for hiring Mary Alice, because this seems to be becoming her wheelhouse to piece these things together. So, and congratulations on the tax. I think that's huge for this project. One thing that if you're not aware of, you just might pay some attention to is the current, the special session of the legislature. There's some dollars for childcare. Okay, I see you nodding, so I won't go into detail, but just make sure that's on your radar, that you're paying attention to that, because things that are shovel ready is what they're looking for, right? And especially these kinds of things that are gonna expand capacity. So that might be another opportunity for you as well. I guess just one, personally, I would say, I think any request asked would, I would probably be more inclined for us to support this in more of a general way, as we went back and looked at what the county has done with regards to like the Steamboat Springs Community Center, those types of things. And I'm not necessarily inclined to say this, we have to put money toward a certain portion, you know, the childcare portion or whatever else. So that's just my two cents on that piece. But it looked like you had just one classroom for the infant and toddler program. So what number of children are you anticipating to be able to accommodate in there?
Sure. So right now, Totally Kids are actually the ones driving that space. And this was at 30%. We'll be entering full design and have that done by April. And the input as to the needs will probably be driven primarily by them. I mean, we're literally remodeling it on them telling us, hey, we need more space, less space. I think this schematic was done previous to our ballot issue passing. So now that that's taken place, we'll enter into, and so I don't know if I have an exact number, Beth, but I think once January, February, we'll have a better understanding of what the needs are actually gonna be and we'll remodel accordingly.
Yeah, and will you be providing that space to Totally Kids and Totally Tots rent-free, or will they be paying rent for it? What's your plan, your business operation on that?
A little bit of cost so that we can cover the overhead for the space. That only makes sense. We have to cover the costs of that space. And to back up just a minute, in 2019, Totally Kids served over 100 unique kids in their summer program. And those rooms are being thought about in a flexible manner so that if they need to make accommodations based on the research and the numbers, that is part of the discussion.
Yeah.
Good point.
So they don't have a specific target in terms of number of kids at different age levels quite yet?
The space is going to drive that question, as well as the need and, you know, just what the curve is on age cohorts.
Well, I'll get ready to build a lot of small toilets. I'll just say that.
That's what that whole remodel is.
Yep. That's exactly it. You know, we can use the current ones with, you know, kindergarten and up, kind of, and yeah. Then I mean, not really, it is actually out of code, but and then once we actually go touch it, then we'll remodel, obviously. And that space, that restroom facility there, will be totally geared towards youth, you know, tiny. That way tiny people.
I don't have any other questions. I turn it back to Tim and Doug.
Go ahead. Yeah. Tim. Yep.
Forgive my ignorance. What is the projected annual receipts from your bond issue? From your sales tax supported.
Sure. Currently, based on 2020, and we're actually being conservative with the numbers I sent, we're using that same model. It's about 240 to 250, $1,000 a year. And that obviously does not include aviation fuel, because this is a tax that comes after December 30th, 1987. So we can't apply it to aviation fuel. So it strictly is just applied to everything else that's sales tax. And it's between $240,000 and $250,000. $100,000 of that is set aside for debt service for the bond issue. And then the rest is for operations.
All right. And does that have a sunset on it?
It does not.
Does not. Good for you.
Coming from the election world in Denver, I learned a valuable lesson that you never sunset tax things ever, because then they always end up failing the next time. So yeah. I've learned that lesson early on.
Yeah, that's great. And then you answered my other question that, you've got a sustainable funding stream for ongoing operations.
Yeah. So our current budget, and I could show you our three-year budget that we'll be adopting in on Thursday, but I've projected out at about year five is when we start hitting net sustainability where the facility should sustain itself without, you know, general fund transfer or whatever. So, and if that actually happens, I'll be really excited because generally recreation centers and centers like this generally don't financially support themselves completely, as Mark is shaking his head. So if that actually happens, and it's based on the business model of the three wings, the secondary unit, the, you know, totally kids space, and then the recreation area, kind of being like the triangle of how that facility will be used long term.
I'm sure you did. You've had some professional help developing these estimates, I take it.
Absolutely. So our current architects are the architects actually that are doing the new Steamboat School that's out there, Tab and Associates. And then Adolf Peterson has been their cost estimating construction company. They did the Hayden School here. And so all of our numbers have actually come from them. So okay.
That's all I have for questions right now. Doug?
I don't have any questions.
Actually, I have one more. I was a little confused, Matt. If you wouldn't mind bringing up your floor plan again and show me where that temporary wall is being built. I was a little confused about that.
So if you're, here it is. So if you're familiar with the way the high school's laid out, this is actually a hallway that led to the old middle school. And it did actually enter.
Scroll up a little bit, Matt.
What's that?
Scroll up a little bit so that you can see the match point. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. So this technically is the hallway that leads to the gymnasium that led to the old middle school. And so that the wall that I talked about, we have our central heating area here that actually sits just outside on this here.
The vestibule and the vestibule match.
Tim. Right. So the mechanical plan here, and right here, right by the electrical room, right after the electrical room, there's a wall joist and a separation area there. And so that our wall will go right up there. And then 10 feet back is actually going to be open space. If it would help, I can actually pull up a Google map that might help, Tim.
No, that's all right. I was just... Okay. Curious about the extent of that wall. How long is that wall, roughly?
Not just the typical hallway. If you would think about a school hall, you know, a 1970 school hallway, it's not that big. The issue is, honestly, materials have just gone up like substantially. The original estimate for this wall was 50,000. And just with costs, so hard to get materials right now because of supply chain issues and everything else. And we're to get Totally Kids operational as soon as we close in 2 weeks. We literally are going to put in a temporary basis wall to get them in, convert that to a permanent wall once we can get our contractor to get in and build it, which is about 8 weeks from when we sign the contract.
But what is the dotted red lines through there, Matt?
Mary Alice,
it's just an area.
It's just area. I think what we did is
tying together.
Yeah. And this schematic actually, so our original floor plan and schematic, we partnered with the University of Colorado Denver Architectural School through DOLA, the UTA program. And they're the ones who actually developed this floor plan. And then we've used it and moved it into design phases with our architect. So they're the ones who originally designed and built this. And that's what we used as a basis when we went into architecture.
For phasing.
For phasing. So kind of, this was done towards the end of 2019, actually. So.
So Matt, and kind of tagging on to what Commissioner Melton was talking about was support in a general sense rather than in a targeted sense. It sounds like you're looking for this money sooner than later in order to get the ball rolling on Totally Kids now. And that's what this request was kind of targeted at, this wall.
It is, because that would be the most immediate need.
Number one.
Now, yeah, the number one need. As I said, and I think the comment from Commissioner Milton actually makes a whole lot of sense, because in the interim coming up to this, we actually just applied for a different grant that could help fund that wall, so to speak. So if that was to be approved, we would just simply move into move your guys' support more into the general sense. We're just trying to hit our bases and figure out ways to do the things we need to do as quickly as possible. So sometimes it feels like a little scattered, but scattered on a really great Excel spreadsheet.
And so that, going back, this first phase was roughly the $200,000 phase. That's what gets Totally Kids in the door.
Yes. Yes. Actually, 100,000, the 94, the wall, that gets Totally Kids technically in. And then the other stuff, the town would be, you know, it's the purchase of the weight equipment and things like that. But so from an opening standpoint, and I'll let Mary Alice have it in a second, we don't plan on opening the facility for recreation use till probably February 1st. But to meet the immediate childcare needs that we need to do, we're going to move Totally Kids in as soon as we can. So it's kind of, we've had to break those two things up just because they're now not being able to be at their other, the church where they were at. We're now trying to meet the immediate need right away. So.
I don't have anything to add.
Commissioners, comments? Any last questions?
Well, I guess I'll start off a little bit. You know, I don't know where we're going to come up with the money here, and ourselves, you know, growing on trees out here on our land as well. And you guys have a great project, and, you know, and it's why I kind of asked earlier whether we had any, you know, whether we had had any conversation in the long run about the paying as you go with you know, with Kelly and Roberta as well, regarding those office spaces, you know. And again, I guess I'm a little worried about, well, we make a contribution now, and then how much we're going to be, well, you guys partnered in the first part, but we got to continue partnering, and how much, where that is too. And again, basically whatever we put in there that comes from other programs, like I said, we don't have the era of the 2004 and 5 era, when we actually had money rolling around and rolling out of our pockets as we walked down the street, are no longer here. And so, you know, we're living on not a shoestring budget, but we're pretty conservative, and as we move along too. So, and again, I'm really supportive of the whole concept, and especially if we can figure out how we can partner in those things, and you know, charge them off to programs and that we're actually participating in, and benefiting the West Route area and the whole region for sure. Also, again, I guess, you know, and I being the old dog on the, I thought we had actually given money to the South Route Community Center, as well as the Steamboat Community Center. And so we had accounting go back and review how much money we had actually given to those. We gave zero to the South Route Community Center at that point in time, which was a big deal for South Route as well. And then we ended up, you know, $25,000 on the move of the Steamboat Community Center is what we gave on that too. So, and again, I guess I'm a short timer here, so I'll defer more to Tim and Beth, you know, because, you know, I think we need to figure out, you know, it doesn't do us any good to throw out $100,000 on a program that's not going to work in the long run either. So you know, so something needs to tie up for the whole program. So I don't have a lot of, I think I've said my comments. And again, I think the project is a great thing. I am a little concerned about the school district though. I'll tell you that, you know, the school districts have been commonly and openly and always have been the community event center. And now that it seems to be the school district has shunned all of their responsibilities, and you guys have very conveniently picked them all up as the community center. So I hope that they're still having some, you know, I mean, we used to have our Yampa Valley Electric meetings in the school. We had, you know, and open gyms and the rest for the community. And now it seems like, well, so you guys are able to do that. So anyhow, I'm just one voice here. So anyhow, I'll turn it over to, and Mary Alice, I think you had a comment on that.
I do, you know, Doug, we are, and I was finishing up drafting it this morning, entering into an agreement with the school district so that we have a mutual use agreement. So not only is the Hayden Center proposal going to serve the community as in its physical plant facility, it is also going to leverage exactly what you were talking about, use of the school for programming by agreement and with a set of circumstances and understandings there. As well, I think that the Entrepreneur Center that we're working on South Walnut, the Hayden Center will also be leveraging that by providing classroom space and back and forth as we, you know, I use the word transition, but in that educational component that we're going to be looking at in the next little bit. So it's not a closed door, it's not a closed box, it is leveraging other facilities and we're very mindful of that.
Thank you.
So I guess I'll go first or second or whatever. You know, it's in my mind, I mean, I guess I'm at this point, I'm supportive of helping out with this project. I know I think we probably do need to have a little bit of further conversation with our human services director and our public health director. And I guess I would share the concern that I think Doug was expressing, which is, you know, you hate, it's tough because you get in on the front end of a project and you're providing support and then you find out down the road, well, gosh, if you don't give more support, then the whole project can't get through. So I would be really concerned, or I'd be really wanting to limit the county's financial participation to this upfront helping getting the ball rolling, but would rather not get dragged down into some long-term financial commitment to make sure that the project is successful. You know, we've talked a lot about some of the additional money that's been in Rouse County's budget because of some of the CARES funding that was covering already budgeted dollars. And we've come to a consensus that it's appropriate to use those dollars, especially to help out some of our existing businesses that are suffering under capacity limitations. The other thing that makes me supportive of this project is that this is long-term infrastructure investment that could pay off dividends for years to come rather than addressing immediate emergency needs. So I'd be curious to hear what Commissioner Melton has to say.
Yeah, I think I hesitate for the county to be sort of the checkbook for everybody else. You know, we have services to provide. We have responsibility for the county's dollars and the county's budget. But I think this is a great project. And I think it's really important for the town of Hayden and for many reasons. And you know, I think it was helpful to understand what kind of support the county has provided for this type of project in the past. Obviously, we just have the one example with the city of Steamboat Springs and the Steamboat Community Center. I don't think we should be punishing anybody because South Route didn't ask the county for money. And so I think, you know,
I built that building.
What's that, Mary Alice? Yeah, I figured
the county built that building.
The
South Community Center.
Mm-hmm. But not with our general revenue dollars, though, I don't believe.
Yeah, we're still trying to get to the bottom of that, Mary Alice. I thought there was some funds went in there, but our accountants couldn't find any money. So anyhow, so.
All right. Well, believe to you. You know more than I do about this. So maybe some dollars went towards South Route's community center as well. But I think, you know, I would be inclined to provide support, you know, in a similar range. I think that would be appropriate, rather than looking at something that's way outside of the dollars that were provided on. If we track down the South Route dollars or the, you know, what the Steamboat project received from the county, just in the interest of being consistent and, you know, not setting some kind of new precedent regarding subsidizing municipal projects, honestly, I think we have to have some consistency about how we're doing that and what that looks like. But I'm fully supportive of us doing that. And I think any other, you know, partnership that would help you all in terms of writing letters of support for grants or, you know, those kinds of things, because I think the approach you're taking is the right one, which is a lot of different funding partners, you know, kind of coming together around this rather than trying to just get all the money from one place. I think that's the right approach for this type of project and would be interested in support of that as well. Just a couple comments too on the childcare side of things. I did have a conversation with Carolyn Gregory about some of the supports that are available for that program for the creation of that infant and toddler program. And we talked a little bit about some of the things that Little Lambs had access to, which is Kelly Keith has some TANF dollars that can support these kinds of things. The city of Steamboat Springs, I'm not sure if they've suspended or if they're still maintaining their program to support the creation of spots for infant and toddler, but they were willing to provide that for South Route. I think they've expanded the program so that anyone who's creating infant and toddler spots for people who work in Steamboat, they have, they've been willing to provide that. And then in the future, obviously, as that program gets going, there's support, ongoing support from First Impressions. So Carolyn and I had some conversation about that. And then I was very excited to see that Totally Kids is now accepting CCAP, which is also great news. And I know that during the beginning of COVID, the county was able to continue supporting CCAP dollars, even when kids weren't in attendance. And so that was a really important lifeline, I think, for a lot of our centers. So it's good to see that they've been able to participate in that program too.
So where does that leave us, Commissioner Melton?
Well, I don't know, Tim, you tell me. I mean, I think I, you know, I'm kind of inclined to look at that $25,000 number, like I said, just for the sake of consistency, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think we're prepared for a decision today. It would be more direction to staff on, you know, taking a look at that. That's where I'm at.
So I guess.
Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, so I don't have any magic number either. And I know that we ought to at least give 25. And now since we're living in such strange times, you know, so nothing yesterday means nothing tomorrow. And we don't know what tomorrow brings us and the rest. And money's magic money nowadays anyhow. So we're waiting on the next stimulus package to figure out what's going to do too. So, you know, I do think, you know, I mean, yesterday we sat around here and talked about, you know, a $400,000 get or a bailout of the restaurant industry too, which is basically subsidizing what our money would have been, which then basically whether we give them the CARES money that we could have gotten or whether we, so, you know, I guess there is some money out there, magic money, maybe you want to call it what you like, but my mind. It's a little magic money that, you know, they're basically some of the backfill that we were going to get out of the CARES, that we already had revenues based on our revenue structure not collapsing like we thought it was going to. So again, I'm all right, and we had to leave. So I just bring that point up too. And anyhow, I don't have any answers. Thanks.
Yeah, well, I know we need to move on, and I think we'll have to have some more discussions internally before we make any kind of a commitment. I do find myself maybe a little bit more liberal about this than what Commissioner Melton suggested, using the precedent of what we did at the community center. I don't know if magic money is the right term, but there are some dollars rolling around out there. And we know that we're also putting together a package of assistance that's not just for businesses, but also for nonprofits. And again, it sure would be nice when we're done distributing this money that we actually had something to show for it. And this sounds like an awfully good project. So.
And yeah, Commissioner, and I would like to comment that we're Totally Kids is also out there applying for various grants that they are eligible for that we are not, to help with the total project. And so we'll obviously be tuning them in. I saw the one grant, I think, that's coming through, I think from Rouse County to the Community Foundation. I may have read that wrong, but the Community Foundation has one. So they're trying to do their part as well, because it is a partnership. And I think your dollars are going to support county residents. I mean, we all live in Rouse County. So, you know, I think that you could show, and that sustainability factor, I mean, Totally Kids has been around since 1992, I think. So pretty sustainable program. So.
All right. Well, I think we will take this under advisement for today. Thank you guys very much for the presentation, and good luck as you move forward with this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I've let us run behind schedule here a bit. Eric, we have the First Amendment to our IGA on the combined law enforcement facility. Would you like to talk to us about that, please?
Yes, and I can probably get you caught up a little bit here. Very simply, this is the First Amendment to the CLEF O&M agreement, and it concerns the provisions for insurance, essentially recognizing that the county carries insurance for the communications equipment in that department, housed within the CLEF, and then also changes to the routine maintenance payment process. Previously, we've been doing that annually, at least at first we were, and then it seemed easier and better for accounting staff for both the city and the county to do it on a monthly basis. So this recognizes that newer process, more efficient process. And that's really it.
Questions, commissioners, for Eric?
No, I can make a motion whenever you're ready.
I'm ready.
So, Mr. Chair, I move that we approve and authorize your signature on a First Amendment to the intergovernmental agreement with the City of Steamboat Springs for the operations and maintenance of the combined law enforcement facility.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Go ahead.
Either a wet signature or DocuSign will work. The city is meeting tonight for their signature, but this allows us to sign in counterparts.
Whatever works for you, Eric. Either way, I'll get it signed for you today.
Great. If you can print it, sign it, and send it back to me, that'd be the best for me.
Okay, and that's the one that's attached here to the agenda?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I will get that done right after the meeting. Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Next up, we have our PDR Advisory Board consideration to fill an open position. Claire, are you here with us? I I see you, Claire, but you're muted.
There I am. I'm
on. There you are. Go ahead, Claire.
We had two applicants for the vacancy in the board, the PDR advisory board. And my understanding is that the commissioners have made a decision between those two applicants. And frankly, I'm not sure on the protocol whether or not those names are made public, if that's what is, I believe that would be appropriate. But in any event, obviously, since one of them is going to be appointed. My understanding is an appointment has been made. And we're ready to get rolling. We know we're going to have an extremely busy cycle coming up in 2021. I guess, Kendra, do you walk us through the agenda item itself, or?
I don't know where Tim went. Where'd he go?
Yeah, I don't think we need to do that, Claire. So, yeah, we.
I'm right here. I'm sorry. I'm right here.
Can't see you anymore, Tim.
So basically, we already interviewed both of the individuals that applied for the position, and so we just needed a formal appointment and to move on. So,
yeah, we have not made an appointment yet. That's why we're here.
Yeah. So, I guess roundtable. So I had, you know, both candidates were very good candidates, and we were very proud. I was proud to have the quality of both candidates. So again, I think both candidates bring some unique skills to the PDR board and the rest. And I had was more supporting Tim Wolgenot versus Doug. So I that would be my choice, would be have Tim fill that position on behalf of that district.
I agree with your comments, Doug. I think both were very strong applicants, and I think both would contribute a lot to the board. I appreciate Tim's experience and his background, and I think would be prepared to support his appointment. I want to ask, because we ran into this before, we've confirmed that both of these people live in the appropriate place to be able to be appointed. Okay. Thank you, Kendra.
Such a stickler, Commissioner Melton. You guys made it easy for me. I'm prepared to entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion. Mr. Chairman, I move to appoint Tim Wolgenot to the vacant position on the PDR board, which is a 3-year position in the at-large seat.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? I guess I'd just like to thank Doug Tuminello for applying, and I concur with the previous comments that Commissioners Melton and Monger made. He would have made a perfectly fine representative on that board, and I thank him for applying. Is there any other discussion?
Just one item. Could we just put on the record what the expiration date of this term is? I guess I'm not sure. Does it expire at the beginning of the year, or is it from today's date, or?
So my understanding is we would do it from today's date, but have it expire on December 31st.
Okay, so it's 3 years plus 1 month.
Yes.
So it would expire
December 31st, 2023.
Thank you. Yes. I need another cup of coffee. My math over here is just not panning out. Okay. For the term expiring December 31st of 2023.
Doug, you want to second that?
Oh, I thought I already did. I thought
we were in discussion, Tim.
Yeah, we were in discussion, I think. So I'd already said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I need another
call. All of us need another call.
Clarify the motion.
Great. If there is no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you very much, Claire. Kendra.
You're absolutely welcome. Thank you. And also, I wanted to let you know, I did talk with Doug and encouraged him to apply again should another position be available in his district. And he is very definitely interested and excited about looking at that opportunity again.
Great. Thank you.
Bye, all.
So I'm not sure it was necessary to reserve an hour and 10 minutes for that, but apparently that's what we did.
Was that a typo, I'm wondering? Was it supposed to be 10:40?
That's what I asked yesterday. And I said, I don't think the commissioners want to deal with me for an hour and 10 minutes. So let's...
Don't take it personal. No.
So. I'm not taking it personal. No, so we got it straightened out. And Eric suggested that we go ahead with this time since we'd already published it. We'll just do it a little quicker.
So we're going to recess until 11:40. Is that what I'm hearing? No, we're going to go ahead and do it now.
I think we're going to do it now. Unless you want to wait, that's your call.
I think we should do it now, Tim.
I'd be happy to do it now, just so long as I can't imagine that there's going to be that many people interested in this. So yeah, let's go ahead and do it now.
Okay. So we're here. Basically what we're doing is amending or ratifying Robin Shepherd's contract from when she was hired for strategic planning. We did a PSA. And then when that project was canceled or put on hold for 2020 due to COVID, and she became the information officer for the COVID team and the community outreach. We did an independent contractor and we found that we really need to ratify the original PSA. And so Eric was kind enough to write that up. And this will get us through the end of the year and be extended as needed by the BCC going into 2021. Robin has signed her copy.
I just have a couple questions. I guess someone remind me, I thought we already signed an agreement that went through the end of this year. Am I misremembering that?
Yeah, it was through June 30th, what the amendment that you signed. Because originally we didn't think that it would be going quite this long.
Oh, I don't know. Sorry, I believe you, except that's not what I remember. I remember us signing one that went through the end of the year. So I'm finding this a little odd, I guess. I don't know what, anyway, well, maybe I'm remembering.
We're all trying to catch up and make it right so that when we're submitting for CARES.
Yeah, you know, whatever. June, December, what's the difference? But,
you know, okay. None of us expected any of this to be going on as long as it's been going on. So, you know, we're just looking forward and how we can make this right. So I think this is the best solution.
No, that's fine. I guess I was remembering something else. And then I assume this is exactly the same as what
I'm following your wavelength. And I think here's the conversation we had when we were talking about the amended budget and making changes to that. The commissioner said, hey, we want to make sure that we've got PIO services through the balance of the fiscal year. So at that time, when you guys looked at when the commissioners looked at the amended budget for FY21, you in fact did make that decision to extend the funding for this through that period. What Julie's pointing out is contractually, we just didn't follow through with probably the right paperwork to support that going forward. But I think that that's your recollection, Beth.
All right. I mean, whatever. If we already did it, we'll just do it again. And maybe I'm wrong. I guess I had another question, which is the way this is written, the PIO reports to the incident commander. And I guess I thought we had requested that the PIO be under the supervision of the county managers. I don't necessarily have a strong opinion. I just want to make sure there's clarity on who is responsible for oversight and supervision of this position.
So yeah, I thought we had that conversation too and agreed that it was going to be the county manager as well. Because right now, you know, and there for a while, we didn't have an incident to have an incident manager. So.
That's a very good point.
I guess I'd just ask Mark. I mean, I don't have a strong opinion either way. But
Beth, thank you for pointing that out. I think based on our previous discussion that in terms of the reporting line, we decided for now that that would be to the county manager's office. And Doug's also making a good point. We may find that there might be a point in time when we don't have an incident commander due to a number of circumstances. So I think given that scenario, I think it would be probably a best practice to go ahead and just say the reporting line will be to the county manager. So if we can make that amendment, Julie.
Absolutely.
That would, I think, be good practice.
I could make that change and then I will forward that along to both Robin and Kendra, and then Tim, you'll receive it.
Well, and that's pretty much what I do anyway.
I know, that is exactly how it's been going. So, you know, I was kind of out of the loop on some of the email, you know, and so going forward, you know, as from what I understand in 2021, we'll be going through the end of June as of now, but that could be up to you as well if you think it's going to go farther than that.
Well, right now we don't have any money budgeted for after the first of the year, so.
Well, can we just clarify what we're doing here? Because I thought that this document said, this says through December 31st, but right. I just heard Julie say through June. So I just want to know what we're signing here and make sure we're all on the same page about what it says.
Well, that's exactly. We're trying to take it to the end of 2020 because we can't do any multi-year contract until after the budget is approved. We can't commit 2021 funds. So this will have to be amended to extend it for whatever time limit the BCC is feeling they're going to need this role filled.
So let me just chime in real quick. All of that's correct. We cannot do a multi-year obligation. And we weren't going to do this at all, except that we need contracts to support expenditures for CARES funding requests. I know it seems a little silly to come to you a month out and have this just extended to the end of the year, but that's what we're stuck with.
Commissioner Melton, are you comfortable enough to be?
Well, I guess I'm just wondering about the line of reporting and authority, and if this contract actually needs to be amended to reflect what we've discussed or whether we're comfortable with it as written.
That must be in the scope of work. Julie is going to change that the reporting official will be the county manager rather than the incident commander.
So that can be edited after we've approved it, in your opinion, Eric?
Yes, just approve it with that change.
Okay.
Are we sufficiently confused? All right.
As a follow-up to another discussion item we've had relative to this topic, it's my understanding, it's my recollection, that the commissioners, did earmark money in FY21 for what I would call public information services. And I'm just double-checking with Dan to make sure that that was the case. But I believe that that was part of our topic of conversation with also the deputy county manager / administrative services director. It was all wrapped in that same conversation because there might've been a hybrid that might've come out of that. But let me verify with Dan as well that going into FY21 that we've got some monies earmarked for those services.
I think we did talk about that, but that was separate from the COVID specific public information, right?
It was, Beth, you're right. It was not CARES Act money or COVID money, but it was actually what would be basically general fund monies.
Yeah, we set aside budget for it. If we do get a renewal of funds for COVID funds, it could be classified under that. But as of now, we did put it in the budget for 6 months.
But my understanding, Tim and Doug, tell me if you had a different understanding, but was that was separate and or in addition to COVID, that, I mean, we were just earmarking that money for more general communications purposes, not that it was specific to COVID. Yeah.
Right.
I agree too. Yeah.
Because we specifically were not budgeting COVID dollars because of the FEMA reimbursement structure and all these other things that we didn't want to compromise our ability for emergency reimbursement by budgeting them.
Right.
Yep. So I'm really ready for a motion.
Are you, Tim? Are you ready?
It's over this conversation.
So, Mr. Chair, I would move that we approve the First Amendment of the Professional Services Agreement and allow the chair to sign that PSA and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order to Robert Shepper, doing business as Wayfinder, in the amount of $8,500 per month for COVID-19 public information officer professional services, noting that the scope of work dated March 21st, 2020 shall be added to the public information officer will report to the county manager. Hopefully that covers that.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you. I'll get you the updates. Have a nice day.
You too.
Thank you.
All right, we've gotten through our agendized items. Is there anything else that you guys would like to discuss before we conclude today's activities?
I saw Mark's email about the resiliency, whatever that's called.
The triple R, the road to recovery and resiliency. So it's the triple R in simple terms. Commissioners, as I sent you that note this morning, late yesterday, City Manager Gary Suter contacted me and said, hey, I'm really sorry this got beyond us and Thanksgiving came and went, but didn't touch base fully with Brown County relative to our interest in participating in this program. And we thought there was a deadline of the submission of a letter of intent today. But thankfully, it's been extended by DOLA till December 7th. So we don't have an immediate decision that needs to be made or a discussion that we need to transpire this afternoon or this morning, excuse me. The links provide some background information on this program. And it is essentially one in which there would be regional participation. In other words, not only the municipalities in Routt County and Routt County itself, but it would also incorporate Moffitt County and the city of Craig. They would be a part of this particular program going forward. In reading through the materials very quickly this morning, it appears as if that DOLA would help facilitate the hiring of an economic development consultant who would basically walk all the partners through a discussion of the road to recovery, not only recovery from the COVID pandemic, but also a resiliency program given what's going on within the energy sector. So it would kind of have two parts in terms of that emphasis and that focus. What I'm going to do with your permission, commissioners, is I will get back with Gary, see if we can put together a little bit more definitive information for you, and then come back and visit about our interest in maybe participating. And now we know that Monday, December 7th is the deadline. We've got a little bit more time to chew on this and provide some feedback and some information relative thereto. Happy to answer any questions.
I don't know. I guess I just feel a little, I think the idea makes a lot of sense, but it feels a little hurried, if you will. And that I would be concerned about signing on to something where there hasn't been a well thought out plan about what this is going to be. I mean, the idea sounds like it makes a lot of sense and is what we need, but I would want to make sure it doesn't become sort of a mess, for lack of a better word. You know, I understanding of who's going to be the lead agency and what is it actually and what's it going to look like. But I trust that you can work on that with these other partners and kind of provide a little more information on it.
Beth, we certainly will. And again, apologies, this came so late. And Gary was very apologetic that it got away from him a little bit. So we really haven't had a chance to really carve into this, but we'll get a lot more of an outline in terms of just exactly what this program would have as far as objectives, the players, the participants, who's going to be the lead, fill in some of those details as best as possible. Maybe, in the era that we're in, this maybe would make sense that the Broncos use a backup wide receiver as their quarterback. Here we are again with like a quick 2-minute offense. Seems like to be the mode of the day.
Let's try to avoid comparing ourselves to the Denver Broncos to the extent that we can.
Yeah, let's just, poor Doug is going to have a heart attack over there if we're not careful. But thanks for the heads up on that. Just so you guys know, I did send an email to John Bristol and asked him for his 2 cents, and I just forwarded to you what his response was, just so you guys know.
Well, again, I don't know. I haven't read anything that Mark just sent out, but I mean, how many are we doing 3 different processes here, or is this kind of mixed in with the public service companies thing that we're having that conversation with them? And we still have to identify, you know, and John has sent us out a meeting date on that thing as right. Well, I see. So I guess it's always good if you have a problem, you just have 2 or 3 different things getting initiated at it. So I don't know.
Well, we do need to determine who's going to attend that meeting.
The one with John Bristol's putting together.
Right.
Yeah.
I had that on my list, yes, too.
So. Yeah, I would volunteer Beth for that. Since she's been on the Just Transition team, it seems to make sense that would be in that same wheelhouse. Commissioner Melton?
Yeah, whatever you want. I'll do it if you guys want me to. Or if, if someone else is interested, that's fine, too.
So in my meeting with public service, you know, since I'm going off, I'm going to get it to be a retired bureaucrat, no longer a bureaucrat. So I did volunteer to Brad McLeod and Ms. Jackson that I would be interested in serving as a adjoining neighbor and as a community member. So I'm planning on and participating in that mode in this conversation as we move forward as well.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
Yeah, that's awesome, Doug. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to get out of anything here, Beth. I mean, I would be happy to do it too, but I feel it makes sense with your position on the Just Transition
Committee. Yeah, and I think, as I suggested, I think having Tim Redman participate, and then once he's seated, we can sort of flip a coin be good too.
Okay, great.
Is that all right, Doug?
Yep, that's okay. Great.
I'll plan to participate then.
All right. Is there anything else we need to discuss here today? Our meeting tomorrow has been pushed to 10:30. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we still have, you guys still have your appointments for, you guys still need to have some conversations about 2021's appointments too. I just wanted to let you know that I will continue on as the River District's rep because that was a 3-year appointment. And so I'll be serving upcoming being my 2nd year on that. So that isn't an annual appointment by the BCC. It's a once and then you're on for 3 years. So I just wanted to let you know as you guys redo that list. Yeah.
Yeah. So Doug, can you clarify on that appointment specifically? So that is a county appointment, but it doesn't have to be a commissioner. Is that?
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Tom Sharp was our representative on the Colorado River District for years.
And Tom Gray is Moffat County's commissioner. And yeah, so it doesn't need to be a commissioner. In fact, Pitkin County, they're a county attorney is their rep as well. So we try not to have too many, not to throw darts at Eric, but we try not to have too many attorneys.
Smart, that's smart. Just wanted to, yeah. So Kendra, have you asked Tim to join us at some point to go over that? Do we have a time?
I actually sent Tim an email this morning asking him to call me to discuss appointments.
Oh, okay. But sometime in December, we'll need to have him join us to review that list, and then we'll adopt it officially in January.
Correct. After probably the same day that he gets seated. Or I don't know if it's that day, but
probably it's usually a Tuesday.
The first meeting that we have after he's seated.
Yep. We'll have it scheduled for that same day. And then it sounds like it might be, Tim will contact Tim, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, we're going to have to come up with a nickname or something. I'm not sure quite how.
Yeah, and you guys are both contractors, so I bet you both go by Timmy at different points in your life, right?
Only my mother got to call me Timmy, so.
You never had any of your guys calling you Timmy?
They didn't stick around for long.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll be the first then.
No, that'd probably be best if you did not. I'll follow up with Tim on that, Tim Redmond on the appointments list, and just make him aware of it. Kendra, did you send me, I asked you to send me a copy of the appointments list.
I'm going through it right now and just kind of highlighting all the ones that might need to be changed or that have dog on there. So okay. I'll get it out to you shortly.
Can you send it to both of us? I just want to take a look at it too.
Sure.
Thanks.
All right. Is there anything else we need to discuss today? Mark?
No, commissioners, I sent you a note on the planning director position. Yesterday, if you have any questions, happy to follow up. I'm just really pleased that we have got, I think, an outstanding individual that's going to fill that role for us going forward. By the way, she's extremely excited. She's accepted. And I think we've got somebody that's going to do an outstanding job for us going forward.
Are we going to immediately turn around and advertise for the assistant planning director position?
Tim, good question. You may recall, and again, I know this has been a number of weeks since we had this conversation and this discussion, but we talked about the fact that given some of the different scenarios that would come forward in the planning department, that what we might actually find is a more critical need, and this is a strong suggestion from Christy, is that we're actually looking for somebody that's going to fill a technician mode that is going to fill in some of those gaps that we've got right now on application processing, following up on a lot of those zoning issues that have come up and have been very prevalent in the last several months, but also somebody that's going to help us with the master plan process. And speaking of that, Christy and I touched base yesterday. She's been in touch with Greg Winkler with DOLA, and we have every anticipation that we might be able to go ahead and begin the master planning process come late spring of 2021. So again, this new person would be integral to that particular initiative going forward. So long story short, Tim, more information to come, but for now, maybe that's more of our focus as opposed to the assistant director.
Great, thank you. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Let's go ahead and adjourn. We will see you guys tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thank you.